Lord started speaking to me, turn this down just a little. The Lord started speaking to me this message probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I've been pondering about it and thinking about it and feeling, you know, see when the Lord's going to have me to share it. And I just felt like that he wanted me to share this tonight. And if you have your Bible, look with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. All right. Now look with me in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Glory to God. Says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars of forever and ever. But notice that. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And it said in Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. And I was thinking about this, the scripture the other day, and I was thinking about God's will and God's purpose for each and every person's life. When you got born again, God had a purpose for your life and for my life. And most people, you know, they say, Lord, your will be done in my life, whatever your will is. But God wants to reveal what his will is. And his will is that we would be able to win souls, that we would be able to turn many to righteousness and turn them to God. But the thing of it is, how many knows you can't do this in your own strength? You can't talk people into it. You can talk your ears off, and you can't talk nobody into it unless the anointing of God gets on you, unless you become one with God. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up on wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. But the word there means wait means to become one with. And see, when God saved us, he told it, even in the disciples, he told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, and then shall you be my witnesses. Glory to God. After they, he was telling them, get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said, I want you, he said, don't even do nothing till you get full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because you can't do it yourself. Nope. You can't save somebody.
Nope.
You know, you can talk, you know, I've seen people that try to talk people into it, but you can talk them into coming to church, but you can't talk them into getting saved unless God gets behind you.
Right.
But how many knows God wants to be behind you?
Amen.
God wants to be the one that changes people's lives. But the thing of it is we have to realize that God has called us to be a soul winner. Every single person that's in this earth today, if you're a Christian, you say, well, I'm not that, that's not my job. I don't do that kind of stuff. That's for Scott. But how many knows it's not just for Scotty, but it's for everybody?
Amen.
Glory to God. Because, see, you're going to run into somebody I don't run into. You're going to be someplace where I don't go. And you're going to run in, and where Brother Scotty don't go, and you're going to run into somebody. And but when you realize that God has called you to be a soul winner, see, did you know that when your whole life, when you realize that one of your purposes in life is to turn people to righteousness by being a witness unto God. And see, there's a scripture that says, ye are my witnesses that I am God, in Isaiah. He said, ye are my witnesses that I am God. And then in Acts chapter 1, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, then you shall be my witnesses.
Amen.
See, when you put those two together, when he said, ye are my witnesses that I am God. See, in other words, God wants us to be a living testimony of Him, that He is real, that He is alive, that when somebody sees your life, they can say, that's God. When they see your life and they say that He couldn't do that unless God was with him.
Yeah.
They couldn't go through what they went through. See, even when you go through suffering, when you go through bad things, when you go through trials and stuff, and you say, well, I thought everything was going to be a bed of roses, you know, when I got saved, and I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. But no, you know what happens? God uses what you go through because other people go through stuff. If you was perfect and nothing went wrong in your life, people would look at you and they'd say, well, they're not like me. I'm different than them, so that I can't use them as an example. But see, when you go through bad things and you experience stuff, but yet you go through it, you come out without the smell of smoke on it.
Amen.
I mean, those when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in that fiery furnace, and when they came out of there, they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. Did you know that when we go through trials and tests in life, God don't want us to smell like that test we just went through. He don't want us to be stinking because we got mad and bitter and angry and all this stuff and get all stinked up with that trial we went through. Some people still stinks after 20 years. They say, 20 years ago, somebody done me wrong in church, and they still got a bad attitude about it for 20 years. In other words, they went through a trial, but they didn't go through it the right way. How many of those, when you go through it the right way, you go through something the way God wants you to go through it? And when you do, God will use that as a testimony to reach somebody else. Even though you might have been on drugs or alcohol, when you come off of that scene, you get your life straightened out, somebody else looks and says, hey, that person right there, they used to be just like me, and look at their life now, they're turned around. So in other words, your testimony, your one of the best things to win, to be able to win souls is your life. A righteous lifestyle. A righteous lifestyle. By living righteously and living godly, God's way, and that means that you live by faith. How many knows when you live by faith, it catches people's attention? When somebody sees something that you do in your life, they know that you did it by faith and trust in God, then it inspires them.
Wow.
Glory to God. I remember God has used scriptures many times with me. Like one time I'd been preaching probably for 3 or 4 years, pastoring a church. And I had a brother that was lost, and he never had come to hear me preach the first time. And one day I was praying at the house, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, ask for the heathen and I'll give them to you for an inheritance. When he said that to me, I knew it was a word from God. And I said, Lord, give me Philip. Give me Philip, Lord. And I just started saying that. I said, Lord, give me Philip. Give me that heathen Philip, you know. And he'd never been to church since I've been pastoring for 3 or 4 years. This was in the Sunday. After the Sunday morning service, I was at home praying. Sunday night, we started church. Here comes Philip in the back door.
Hallelujah.
He just comes walking in. He don't even wait. He just walks in, walks straight up there to the altar, kneels down, and starts praying to get saved. I said, man, this stuff works. I mean, knows when you see something like that happen, it really inspires your faith. Because, see, God wants us to pray. He said, pray for pray the Lord of harvest that He'll send laborers into the field. And so when you pray for somebody to be saved and believe God's going to save them, you wouldn't believe how much power that you've got to influence somebody else's life.
Yep.
By your prayers. By interceding for somebody. We say, oh, well, I can't do nothing with them. They're just lost as a goose. They don't know nothing. They won't listen to nobody. But you know what? God knows how to get them.
Yes, He does.
God knows how to reach a lost person. God knows how to reach out and touch somebody's life. And tug on their strings of their heart. My brother got saved. I had another brother. He was on meth and drugs and all kind of things he was doing. And he had been serving God at one time, but he slipped away. And then I was reading the scripture where David and his men had their wives all stolen and taken. And how that David began to, he sent for the priest and he began to pray. And he said, God, shall I pursue or shall I not? And the prophet, the priest told him to pursue and you will recover all. And I was reading that scripture and I was thinking about my brother Adam and I thought, you know, he used to serve God, but the devil stole. And all at once when I started reading that scripture, I just said, Lord, I'm taking Adam back in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're going to turn him loose and you're going to let him go. Because, see, I had got a word from God. When you get a word from God for somebody, you can pray and you'll see something happen. If you'll pray, when God inspires you with something like that, you'd be surprised. You'll see things just turn around. And I prayed for him. And you know what? He got the police come to my mama's house and come in there with guns drawn and the SWAT team come in their house, scared them half to death. I was going on vacation. They called me, mama's dead. Come home. I said, I ain't coming home. I'm going to Florida. She said, Adam's in jail. I said, I can't help it. I'm going on vacation. God's going to take care of it. He went to jail, stayed in there for about 7 days till I got back. And then when I got back, got him out of jail. And then a week later, another SWAT team come and got him again from another county, put him in jail. And it scared him because he thought he was going to prison. And guess what? He got ready to go to rehab. He went to rehab, got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, got out of jail, and went to court. The court sentenced him to a year in church. That's the truth. She said, the woman that was a thing, she said, you're going to have to go to drug court every week, drug school. And she said, he said, this is my brother. He's a pastor. She said, okay, if you go to church, I'll count that as drug school. And she said, just to have him to sign it every week. So for the next year, he was sentenced to church. He was at church every Sunday, signing a paper. And you know what? He got married, he got a home, got two kids now. All those things happened. But see, When I read that scripture and God spoke to me and said, pray for them that you'll recover all. It'll all come back. And it did. And so God will speak to your heart concerning people. But see, there's something else too. Like, how many knows that it's hard for you to win somebody to the Lord if you don't live righteously? I used to work with some people that was... said they were Christians, and this guy that was working with me, he said, Brad, he said, if you was preaching over here, he said, I'd come hear you preach. But he said, if that other guy over there, if he was preaching, he said, I wouldn't go hear him. He said, he don't live right. He said, he don't do right out here on the job around everybody. And so it stuck with me, and it made me realize that people are watching your life. And if they think that you are not, see, sometimes it's not so much that God don't want you to do something, it's that he don't want somebody else to lose their confidence in you. See, he don't want anybody else to lose their, you say, well, I'm not in bondage, I can do what I want to do. If I want to get drunk, I'll get drunk, or if I want to smoke pot, I'll smoke pot, or whatever. But you know what? When you do, if somebody sees you, then your testimony, it hurts your testimony. They don't want to listen to you no more. You know, when you start talking to them about God, it's like, hey, don't talk to me. I know what you've been doing. Because, see, your testimony, even in the book of Revelation, it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the day. Glory to God. And so they overcame the devil because that they was the blood of Jesus is the life of Jesus. His life is in his blood. So they overcame by the life of Jesus and by the word of their testimony. Their testimony, what was coming out of their mouth and what was coming out of their life. Your testimony can change people's lives. We see this all the time that people... See, whatever the devil tries to destroy you with, you can take it, turn it around and use it to destroy his kingdom. If he tried to destroy you with drugs, you can turn around and minister to drug addicts. If you had cancer and God healed you, you can go out and pray for people that's sick with cancer and minister to them and say, God, heal me. He can heal you. Why? Because your testimony. See, but the devil don't want people to have a testimony. The devil wants to try to destroy your testimony. He wants to try to cause you to make wrong decisions so that you'll not be used by God. So people won't be able to have confidence in you. Because it does have, there is something to do with what people think about you. People say, well, I don't care what nobody thinks about me. Well, you need to. You need to. You don't need to just think that it don't matter what people thinks about you. You know, but, you know, everybody's not going to speak well of you no matter what you do. You know, because they hated Jesus without a cause and they'll hate you. But people that are reaching out needing help, they're going to call on you. I had a friend of mine that he called me up one day and he said, Brad, he said, I want to come talk to you. And he said, my aunt told me I needed to talk to you. And he was older than me, but we worked together in Birmingham. And he said, I dreamed that I died. And he said, and it scared me. And he said, I want to get right with God. And he said, my aunt told me to find somebody that's like I am, that used to be like I am now, but serving God. And he said, the first person I thought of was you. And he said, I wanted to come and talk to you. So we sat out there and talked a little while. I prayed with him, and he left. He didn't get saved that Sunday, but I mean that day. He left and went and sent another preacher the next week. He went to church, and he went to the altar and gave his heart to God, and he got saved. And he went back, started trying to make things right with people. He had a testimony that he had changed. You know what? The next week, he got killed in a car wreck and died. But you know what? He was saved. But the thing of it was, see, he come to me because he knew that I'd been where he was. And see, that's what people needs hope. People needs to know that there's a hope in God, that when you turn to God, when no matter what stage they're in, if you turn to God, you got hope. Yes. I mean, notice, if you don't have God in your life, you ain't got hope. That's the reason people get depressed and gets anxiety and everything else, because that they don't have hope in God. When you have hope in God, it does away with those things. How many remembers the story of the sower sowing the seeds in Luke chapter 8? Glory to God. In verse 5, it says, and a sower went out to sow, and his seed, and he sowed some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and it was, as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some of it fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. And seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and cometh the devil, and taketh away out of the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard the herd, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now this, I think this is a twofold thing here. When it talks about fruit, I think it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but I also think it's talking about fruit of people. I think it's talking about bringing souls, because that's what God's will and purpose is that we be fruitful and multiply. He told Adam and Eve, he said, go forth and multiply. How many knows that God wants us to multiply? He wants us to multiply what he's put in us, in other people's lives. But see this, when we think about it, it said that the good ground was they that heard the word and done it. When we are doing the word of God, and in the word of God is that he wants us to be a soul winner. He wants us to win the lost. He wants us to reach out. And so that means that our whole life, we need to realize that Because if you don't realize that you're supposed to be a soul winner, if we think that that's just for somebody else that can talk good or something like that, then we're not going to really become what God's wants us to be. Because this is what happens when you start realizing that you are a soul winner. You know what it is? It's like your life changes, because all at once you can't do this, because if you do, it's going to hurt your soul winning. You can't do this because it's going to hurt your soul winning. And it's like then you start becoming like a laser beam. You start looking, you thinking, you know, I need some weapons to be a soul winner. I need some armor. I need some things in my life. And so you start reaching out to God and say, God, give me this stuff that I need to win the lost. And I remember one time I was going out knocking on doors and inviting people to come to church. I went and knocked on this man's door. He had cancer, and he was in there, and he was in agony. He was suffering so bad, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, you can pray for me. And so I started praying for this man, and I prayed a prayer, but I didn't really see anything happen then. And I got in my car, and I started driving down the road, and I said, all at once, something on the inside of me, I cried out to God. I said, God, give me the gift of healing, because I want to be able to help somebody like that. Lord, and it was like something on, I was asking for a gift that would help me in my endeavors in what I was doing, which was soul winning. And so the next house that I come to, it was this dear old man. He was about 90 years old, his brother Davis. And he had a daughter that was there. She was about 50. And so I got out and started talking to him. And then his daughter walked up. And I said, I'd like to invite you to come down and visit our church. And she said, I can't. I got arthritis and bursitis and all kind of stuff, you know. And I said, and her daddy, when he comes to church, he'd come in on crutches. He was 90-year-old. He's like, you know, she was 50-year-old. She was fine, but she couldn't come to church because she had arthritis or bursitis or whatever it was. And so anyways, I said, well, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. And she said, well, come in here in the house. So she walked in the house. She walked all the way through to the back of the house and sat down on the couch, stuck her hand out like that. And I thought it felt kind of weird, you know. I just reached out and I took her by the hand and I prayed a prayer. And I said, Lord, heal this woman. I didn't even really know what all was wrong with her. I just started praying for God to heal her. And when I started praying, her arm started jerking, doing like this. I mean, she was like, and I thought, she must have been drinking a lot or something. I didn't know what it was, you know. And so then when I got through, she started rubbing her arm like this. And she said, I said, what's wrong? She said, it don't hurt no more. She said, it don't hurt no more. She said, I've had bursitis in this shoulder for a year. And it's been hurting continually. She said, it's gone. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, come to church Sunday. You know, she never did come to church. But I seen her another couple weeks later. No, it was like a month later. She was still healed. God healed the woman. But the thing of it was, see, when I cried out because I needed that gift to help me what I was doing, God gave me the gift so I could pray for that next person to see them get healed. Yeah. And that's what God will use. When you've got a desire to reach out, to reach somebody, God will show you how to do that. Glory to God. I remember I seen T.L. Osborne. And T.L. Osborne was a preacher that he used to go overseas a lot, minister over there in India and different places like that. And he had thousands and thousands of people that would get saved and healed in his services. But him and his wife had been over there earlier in their ministry, and they'd been there for like a year and nobody had been saved. They came back and they were discouraged and they wanted to give up. And he went to a tent meeting. When he went to this tent meeting, he seen this woman there that was ministering. I think it was Catherine Kuhlman or somebody like that. And he saw God in this woman. That's the first thing he said. He said he saw God in a woman, in a person. And God was healing people in that tent meeting. And then he saw God in the Word. He was reading the Bible and he started seeing God in the Word. But he said then he saw God in himself. He saw God in him. And he went back to India. And when he went back to India, they started having mass healings. When he had to have a service, there'd be 100 people, blind people, get healed, or deaf and dumb people, just all in the hundreds of people that were there. And then when people heard about it, more people started coming. And the first thing you know, he's preaching to 500,000 people at a time, and all kind of people getting healed and stuff. And then when he led them to the Lord, he'd lead 100,000 people to Jesus, you know, at one time, or 15,000, 20,000 at a time, accepting Jesus. Why? Because that the gift of God was working through him as a testimony. Because, you know, in Mark chapter 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, these signs, and he said, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, these signs shall follow you. In my name you shall cast out devils. He said, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And he said, you shall take up serpents. And the reason he said that was because that he was talking about, as you go preaching the gospel, these signs will follow you. That you expect these things to happen as you go and as you minister to people. You remember when Jesus said, he came to his disciples one time and he said, follow me, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Let me read that. 4:19. It said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw his other brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called unto them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now see, you have to realize, Jesus just told them, he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, then look what he did. And said, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. See, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then he turned around and he started healing the sick, started casting out devils and doing all these things. And you know what he was doing? He was teaching them how to be fishers of men. Because what happened was when people started hearing about Jesus healing the sick and all these miracles happening, all at once these people come to him and they wanted to hear what he had to say. But you know what? People will do the same thing in your life. When you pray for somebody and a miracle takes place or something, you'll see things happen. I was at the jail one day. You know that scripture where it says that you'll take up serpents? Well, I had preached that Sunday. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go pick up snakes. Because I was praying about that and I said, Lord, I said, I know you not telling me to go pick up a rattlesnake. I said, but what does this mean? And he said, where was the first place a serpent was spoken of? And he said, it's in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. And then I realized what the definition, this is my definition of a serpent. It's a vehicle the devil uses to get to you or somebody else. See, the devil used a serpent to get to Eden. So a serpent is a person or thing or whatever that the devil uses when he uses somebody to get to you. When it says you shall take up serpents, it don't literally, when you look that up, it means to put aside. It says you shall put aside serpents. Because there's people, when you start preaching the gospel, there's people that are going to rise up against you. Because the devil's going to work through somebody to try to shut you up. Yeah. And so, because it said that when Paul went into that one city preaching, it said there was a man there named Bar-Jesus, and said that he had everybody bewitched into thinking that he was something great, you know, but he was really a sorcerer. And so when Paul went there, he cast the devil out of this guy. And when he did, the whole city come out to see him. And then a whole bunch of people got saved because of it. But see, he had to take that serpent up because, see, that man started coming against Paul when he started preaching. He said he began to come against Paul and trying to turn people away from him. He was a serpent. The devil was using that man. But you know what Paul did? He cast the devil out of him. And when he did, the whole city come out and got saved. Or most of the city did. But he had to take the serpent up first before he could do something. And sometimes when you're out preaching, you're going to have to deal with the serpent. And so I preached this sermon at my church one day, and I went to the jail. I heard a lady wanted me to go see her son. I walked in. I walked back there where he was at, and there was two preachers there that was already there from a church that don't believe anything. That actually they're in error about a lot of stuff. They think they're the only ones going to heaven. And so they were standing there talking to this boy, and I walked in, and I was standing there, and I just folded my hands, and I said, well, I'll wait till they get through. So then he turns around, and he starts talking to me, and he said, we're just telling these boys here why we don't believe in music, why we don't believe in this, we don't believe in the Holy Ghost, we don't believe in this. And I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, this man's asking for it. And I said, I know you don't want me to argue with this man in front of these people here, you know, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I was standing there, and all at once I just said, you know what? I said, there's some good things about your church, but I said, there's some good things about our church. And I said, if we can take a little bit of what y'all got, and y'all take a little bit of what we got. He said, he got red faced. He said, you show me one place in the Bible where we're wrong, and I'll quit my church. I said, you will? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, don't y'all teach that speaking in tongues is of the devil? He said, yes, we do. And I said, well, how come Paul preached spoke in tongues? He said, well, do you speak in tongues? I said, every day. And when I said that there's an old man there and a young man. The old man's face turned red. The young man's face turned red. They got mad, and they're sitting there, and that one of them started shaking. He was just standing there doing like this. And he said, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. And I'm standing there, and I had the Holy Ghost on me. I could feel the peace of God. I didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong. And all at once, those guys, they left out of there. And when they did, all them boys was in that jail cell walked up to the cell to see what I had to say. And I started preaching to them, and I prayed for them and ministered to them. And then I left, and I got in my car, and I started driving away, and I said, Lord, how come you let me argue with those guys right in front of those boys? And he said, you just took the serpent up. And then later on that day, that boy called his mama, and he told his mama, he said, all these boys in here, he said, they heard them talking. And they said, you know what? That young preacher makes a whole lot more sense than those other two preachers do. He said, they don't act like they know what they're talking about. And but see, God used it. So when you're preaching the gospel, sometimes you've got to take the serpent up. Because if you don't, they're just going to try to derail everything you're doing in the gospel. But Jesus said these signs would follow you as you go. But there are some enemies to being a soul winner. And one of them is selfishness. You know, if you're a selfish person, you don't really care about anybody else. You know, you got to get rid of self. You got to die to self and realize that when you start opening yourself up and let God use you to minister to other people, you can help people. You can change somebody's life. You think that you can't help nobody, but you know what? When you believe that God's with you, that God wants you to talk to somebody, God wants you to minister to somebody, and you lay aside your fears and your insecurities and all the things that tries to make you shyness or whatever from stepping out, and you step out, God will use you. Lust and greed is an enemy to being a witness. Sin, all sin is an enemy to being a witness for God. Not knowing the will of God, that it's God's will for you to be a witness, is an enemy. Unrighteous living is an enemy. Unforgiveness is an enemy. Bitterness and anger and pride is an enemy to being a witness for God. But being a witness for God, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And we got to let God, we got to learn to be sensitive to God. I picked up a guy hitchhiking one day, had a guy in the car with me, and we were riding back from Birmingham. And he went to a, he was a Baptist. He was a good Baptist, but he didn't believe in gifts or nothing like that. And we was coming up through there, and I seen this guy standing out there on the edge of, and it was raining. And I said, I'm going to pick that guy up. I said, Lord, you want me to pick him up? And the Lord said, I mean, I heard the Lord scream in my ear and said, yes, pick him up. I pulled off. I didn't even ask the guy. I just wheeled off. When I pulled over, he looked at me and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I'm picking this guy up. He said, no, no, no. And it's too late. The guy done jumped in the car. So we pulled out, started driving up the road. And I'm sitting there. I said, Lord, you want me to witness to this guy? And the Lord said, yes. He said, tell him somebody picked him up last night that made a big influence on his life. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, is that God telling me that, or is this just my imagination? You know, and it just kept coming to me. Tell him that somebody picked him up last night that made a big impression on him. And finally, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, who picks you up the most, Christians or non-Christians? He said, well, it's funny you should say that. He said, just last night, a man picked me up. He said, I've never met a man like this in my life. He said, that man made an impression on me. And I'm sitting there going, I knew I should have told. I said, would you believe that God just told me that before you said that? You know, and I said, God's after you. God's trying. And the man was a backslider. He was away from God. But the thing of it was, see, God gave me a word for that man, for him to get saved. And I believe the man got saved later. He didn't in that car that day, but I believe that he did later because he was after him. And see, and if we're sensitive to God, sometimes, you know what makes us not sensitive to God? It's when we're distracted. You know, distracted drivers have wrecks.
Yeah.
But you know what? When we're distracted by the cares of life, and you know, you can be so caught up in something we're doing or wanting to do that we forget about anybody else around us. I'm the world's worst. You know, I got a one-track mind. I'm doing something that, I mean, everything else could be happening all around me, but I can't see it. All I can see is just what's in front of me. But see, when we realize that the distractions, when they're pushed aside and say, Lord, help me to focus on people that I meet. And I remember when I first got saved, I don't do it as much as I used to, but I was almost a predator on the good side. Because everybody I seen, I said, can I get this one, Lord? What can I say to this one? You know, every time somebody would walk up to me and start talking to me, I was like, are they saved or are they lost? I got to try to get this person saved here, you know. And I mean, everybody, it was like, so I remember one day this guy walked up to me at work and we were sitting there talking. He said, man, I got a headache. And I looked at him and he said, no. Because he knew I was fixing to say, let me pray for you. But the thing of it was, we get older, sometimes we start getting away from that where we're not as sensitive as we used to be. But I just want to encourage you tonight. God wants you to be a soul winner. And how many knows when you do the will of God, you're going to be happy? If it's God's will for you to be a witness, then when you do it, you're doing it when you're living right, when you're trusting God, and when you're doing things God's way, you're being a witness. And then when you meet somebody and you're talking with them, always cause the conversation to come back to God. Always coming back to God and bring that thing around to where that you're able to talk to them and ask them a question, you know. And then you can kind of fill them out and you can find out whether they're a Christian or whether they're not a Christian. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. We